Thank you for visiting our website today. You are listening to one of our Sunday sermons from Grace City Church.
But this morning, I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're just going to look at one verse. Could you believe that? That Pastor Stewart is just going to speak on just one verse instead of a passage. But today, just one verse. And it's our theme Sunday. And usually when we have our theme Sunday, we have one Sunday here, and then the next Sunday we have it in Northern Mara campus. But this year we decided that we should launch it together. Call everybody to come in together. We launch our team. And not only we want to launch our team, we want to be able to anoint you with the oil of the Spirit so that you are able to live powerfully for Him. You know, and our theme for this year is live out our love. As you are aware, this is a 3 years theme. The first year in 2017, we talk about how you should live out our faith. And then 2018, we talk about how we should live out our hope. So this year is the final deposit of our 3 years theme. And from this chapter, the chapter of love, in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13, now, faith, hope, and love remain. And these three virtues must characterize our life. The greatest of these is love. The greatest of these is love. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your Spirit. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for the work that you are doing in each one of our hearts and in Grace City Church. So Lord, today we commit everything to you, the preaching of the word, the anointing of oil, the communion service, the fellowship of a meal together, Lord. We bring everything to you, and our desire is to see you lift up and your love expressed powerfully among your people. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible talks about three virtues, three excellence, three character that must be found in each one of us. The character of love, the character of hope, and the character of faith. And they are important because for you to be able to experience and express them, it must be first be where? It must be first be in you. If you don't have love, you can't express love. So it must take place in you first. And when it takes place in you, God wants you to express it and demonstrate in every areas of life. You have faith? Put up your hand if you have faith. Come on. And I have faith that the children always behave themselves well. I tell you, the children here behave so well. It's really a credit to the parents. I have faith in that. So it's good to have faith. Do you have hope? Let me see your hand if you have hope. You know, a hope in Jesus Christ. And the Bible said that when you have this, you need to have love. Love. Love is important. Love, you know, conquers all. You know, when you have love, there is no fear. When you have love, you know, there is no hatred. And love conquers all. Love makes all things beautiful. And the greatest of faith, hope, and love. What is the greatest? The greatest is love. You saw the banner that has been designed by Jelena from Northern Mara campus. I like the picture of the crown of thorns. Jesus Christ, because he loved you, he loved me, he wear the crown of thorns, the crown of shame, the crown of rejection, so that he can demonstrate what? Not his anger, not his judgment, so that he can demonstrate his great, merciful, wonderful, compassionate love for us. This is what the Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were yet sinners. God loves us. There is something that you got to hold it. As a little child, you already understand God loves you. But wonderful. As you grow up as a teenager, you still need to know that God loves you, especially teenagers starting to become a bit more naughty. You know, and as you become an adult, and as you reach this age, or maybe older than me, you still need to know that God loves you. Because love is so important. And this love that God has for us, the Bible says that God poured upon us so that we are able to experience His love. And we are also able to express His love to others. So when I look at 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13, I look at different translation. And I look at the different translation. I want to use the different translation to tell you how do you live out our love. In the translation by J.B. Phillip, he said, in this life, we have three great lasting qualities. Faith is a lasting quality. Hope is the lasting quality. Love is the lasting quality. And he said, out of these three, the greatest lasting quality is love. Love is the greatest. Greater of all faith and hope. We need love. I mean, I can say I have faith. I have hope. That's wonderful. But without love, your faith and your hope cannot find its meaning, its purpose, and its expression. You need love. You know, because love says this thing. Love says, God, I believe in you, and I will do what you do. That's what love say. Faith say, Lord, I believe what you say. Hope say, God, I expect what you promise. But the greatest of these is love, because love does what God does. God is love. This is His character. Like Him, we love. We are never more like God than when we love. The more we love, the more we are like Jesus. You can practice faith alone. You can practice hope alone. God, I have all the faith. God, I have all the hope. But you cannot practice love alone. Because love that is in you needs another person to express. Of course, in our world today, we use the word love on animals. We use the word love on things. We use the word love on nature. I love my dog. I love, you know, my car. I love the sun and the sea. So we use it, all this. But the right way to use love is to be used as there's expression and as demonstration and as practice. Not to animals, not to thing, not to nature, but to someone created in the image of God. And that is when you know you are God-like. John Calvin, a theologian, put it this way. A very simple reason why love is the greatest gift, because faith and hope are our own. Love is diffused among others. This is what it means. Faith and hope benefit you. But love always benefit who? Others. It's your love that benefit your brother, your sister, your family, your neighbor. Love always has to do with another, with others. Love with one another person. Oh, I have so much love. Take the person away. That love become self-love. I love myself so, so much. Have you ever felt that way before? This is the culture that is so prevailing in our world today. This is called narcissism. This is SDD, self-love deficit disorder. This is a disorder. This is a sickness of our postmodernism. But it must never be found in where? It must be never be found in the church, the community of believers commanded to love like God loves. The Bible tells us in 1 John 4:19, we love because what? He first loved us. God loves us, therefore we love. We cannot do anything other than love because God loves us. You see, there is the biblical self-love. A biblical self-love that is built on scripture. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. A biblical self-love that is built on how you see yourself in Christ and his work on the cross. You are because he is. Not the self-love that is built on the philosophy of this world, the spirit of this age that is against God, against family, and against community. Love is the greatest. It's the greatest because it's built on two great commandments in the Old Testament. Jesus spoke about it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like this. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophet hang on these two commands. Jesus said this is great because it fulfills the two great commandments. In fact, Jesus said, I'm going to give you a new commandment. And what is that? A new commandment I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must, not you should, not you maybe, not you might. Because I have loved you, so you must love one another. It's an expression. Love is an expression of God who lives in us, the God of love that lives in us, and we just cannot help it but to be like him. And when we don't, we find something here is amiss. Love is the greatest. Jesus said, it's by your love for each other that you are known as my disciple. This is how everyone will recognize that you are my disciple. That person is a Christian. He's a disciple of Jesus Christ. Wow, look at how they love each other. Not how they fight each other. How they disagree with each other. It's how they love each other. Jesus never said, when you move mountains, when you have faith to move mountains, then they know you are my disciple. Jesus never said, because of your glorious hope, then they know you are my disciple. But he simply said that when you love like I love, Christ-like love for each other, love always requires other, an object. Love cannot remain itself. It's part of what makes love great. Make love the greatest. What about if I have no love? This is what the Bible says. Without love, I am nothing. Nothing at all. I'm zero. I'm nobody. I'm bankrupt. You know what does it mean with the word nothing? In Greek, the word nothing means non-existent. It means that without love, I'm living, but I'm not existing. You heard this phrase, living dead. Yes, I may be eating, I may be breathing, but I'm not existing at all. Without love, part of me, the most important part of me is what? Is dead. That's why love is important. Without love, I am nothing. This is what? 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians 13, chapter 1, verse 1 to verse 3. If I could speak all the language of earth and of angel, but did not love other, I could only be a noisy gong or clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy, and if I understand all of God's secret plan, and possess all knowledge, and if I have such faith that I could move mountains, if I did not love others, I would be nothing. If I give everything I have to the poor and even sacrifice my body, I could boast about it. If I did not love others, I would have gained nothing. Oh, Paul is saying, it doesn't matter who you are, who you think you are, who other things you are. If you do not have love towards others, your life is empty, your life is meaningless, you are nothing. Oh. Nothing. Think of this. What is a marriage without love? What is a marriage without love? I pray that every couples here, married couples, I pray that your love for one another is not just love at first sight, or love at second sight, or third sight. I pray that your love for one another will always be growing and continually growing. What about if there's no love in the family? I'm telling you, family conflicts and family trouble. If you come from a big family like mine with 10 children, you will find it is not easy to live as a family. But we need what? We need love. Or love for a friend, for a church, for a career. Without love, life is like a fireplace without a fire. A pool without water. It is cold, it is empty. This is the power of love. Why you need love? Because there is power in it. If you look at verse 7 to verse 8, love never gives up, never lose faith. It's always faithful, hopeful, and endure through every circumstances. Love never fear. Love never ends. Love never fade. Love never become obsolete. Love never comes to an end. Love knows limit. I like the word, love is never obsolete. I can't look at my wife and say, you are getting old. I need to replace you. I can do that for my car. When my car is old, I replace the car. But not with your wife. Because love never become obsolete. Amen. Verse 8 tells us, love never dies. Ministry, no matter how great it is, spiritual gift, no matter how powerful it is, achievement, no matter how glorious it is, wealth, no matter how much it is, knowledge, no matter how deep it is, they will all come to an end. But love never ends. Love continues. This is the power of love. Love is very important. I cannot forget, as a teenager, two incidents. And I asked myself, where is Christian love? One incident was in a big meeting. I was behind the stage, and here was the preacher from overseas. I tell you, he has tremendous power. He speaks, the demons come out. His power of casting out demons is phenomenal. I never seen that. Oh, every demon listen to his command in Jesus' name. So gifted. I was impressed. But behind the stage, there was a teenager. They did something wrong. And the way he handled him and scolded him, I stand and I look at him and say, the man has such a powerful gift. Where is love? Where is the Christian love we talk about? I was not a teenager. I saw him. Another incident I never forget as a teenager. It was a skit. The youth was doing a skit, so we went to a church. And you know, youth, at every generation, they are quite creative. So we have this skit about a person dying in the coffin. And in the church, we make a coffin and get someone to lie down. That person is very brave. He's not superstitious. He lied down in the coffin as dead. But the guy who was doing the funeral as a skit for all the young people, he did not realize that he put something onto the Holy Communion table. After the skit is finished, the pastor of the church came to him and gave him such a big rebuke because he said the table is holy. You don't just put anything on it. And I asked myself, where is that Christian love? That one was me. Where is the Christian love? Maybe that's why, as a pastor, I try never to lose my anger or lose my temper, because Christian love is what really makes us different from the world. When Paul wrote 1 Corinthians 13, it was to a church in strife, a church that lacked Christian love among them. Their love was to be a weakness to the unbelieving world, but they feel miserably. They have a love feast, but no love. They exercise spiritual gift without love. In fact, they took communion, the Lord's table, but no love for one another. They did everything they are called to do religiously, but without love, relationally. They did the letter of the law without the spirit of love. By this, shall the world know that you are my disciple when you love one another. I look at the Amplified Bible on verse 13. This is what the Amplified Bible say. Love, unselfish love for others, growing out of God's love for me. So, the Bible tells us it's not just love. I have love. Yes. What kind of love? The Bible talks about unselfish love. So that if there is unselfish love, there must be what? Selfish love. What is selfish love? Selfish love is this. I put myself first. It's always about me. I am I. I take first place. You are not important. That is called selfish love. You tell me, how is a marriage going to survive? How is a family going to continue to grow if there is selfishness in love? So the Bible tells us, not just any kind of love, but unselfish love. Because if you are so selfish with your love, what is there left for others? No room. No leftover. Nothing at all. Is not this the culture we see in our world today? The Bible talks about unselfish love. Love that goes the extra mile. Love that put others first before self. Love that is more than an emotional feeling, but a loving action and loving attitude. Found in verse 4 and verse 8 of 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. It does not sing its own praises. It's not arrogant. It's not rude. It's not think about itself. It's not irritable. It does not keep track of wrong. It's not happy when injustice is done, but it is happy with the truth. Love never stops being patient, never stops believing, never stops hoping, never gives up. Love never comes to an end, and love never dies, never fears, and lasts forever. So the Bible talks about not just love, unselfish love, but unselfish love for others that grow out of what? God's love for who? For me. The depth of your love for others is depending on the depth of God's love for you. You remember the woman that came and wept and opened the alabaster box, on the feet of Jesus. And the disciples said, Jesus, what a waste. Jesus said, because much is what? Forgiven. Much is what? Love. Unless we recognize each one of us here as God's children, that God loved us, He sent His Son to this world to die for us. He paid the ultimate price. We don't deserve it all. But yet He gave us His love. Unless we recognize that, then we think, when we love someone, it's because, I think I like your face. I think you deserve it. I think today is your day. But when you recognize, the Bible talk about, is God's love growing in where? In us. So that we are able to who? We are able to love others. God love growing in us. We can only give what we have, what we believe, what we experience. Not having love, not believing in love, and not experiencing love become I owe you love. You know what's I owe you love? I can't give it to you because I owe you. I have nothing to give. But Romans 13 verse 8 says, Do owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. So the Bible tells us so clear that the love that God has for us in here must what? Must grow. If we don't grow, we are in trouble. It cannot be stagnant because it comes in, it must go out. How can love comes in and hatred goes out? How can love comes in and unforgiveness goes out? It's impossible. The love of God that comes in, melt this hard heart. Melt this angry heart. Melt this bitterness. And somehow the love of God is greater than my sin. Greater than me. It comes. It melts me. It changes me. It touches me. It aligns me. And then something takes place in here. What is it? Now, I love. Sometimes it's not easy to love the unlovable. When it's your love, you have limitation. But when it's God's love, there is no limitation. The last translation, I found it from the Amplified Classical Version. I hope there's no classic here. Classical version. And this is what it said on verse 13. It said that love as true affection for God and man, growing out of God's love for and in us. So, what does the Bible say? Well, the Bible is talking about a love that is an affection, a true affection for who? For God and man. He didn't talk about love for things. Not, I love Nando, I love my car, I love holiday, I love my dog or cat, I love my iPhone. Not, I love things, but love what? People. Say the word people. I won't use the word love. I like my Australian bulldog that I used to have. I would use the word love if I was not preaching. But he don't deserve it. I like this Australian bulldog. 42 kg that I have. I really like this dog. When he walks with me, people turn and look because he is huge. He is fat. When he walks, he go this way. Everybody, look, children step aside. Cheer. Then I met this lady who was in charge of the bulldog, Aussie bulldog in Western Australia. I met her and I talked to her and she said this, I trust dog I love dog. I have faith in dog more than human. Oh, I was quite taken back. Why would a person say that? And she's married. What a chance does the poor husband have? Under the four husbands become like a doctor's. And you know why she said? She said this to me. As a little child, I came and grew up in a broken family and I was abused. Therefore, I have learned not to trust people. I feel safer with a dog. But that's not what the Bible talks about. Our love that God has put in our heart is solely for human beings. Say amen. Don't get it into any other thing except human being. Now, if you look at the Bible, the first time love is mentioned was by God to who? To Abraham. When God told Abraham, take the son whom you love. Whom you love. The first time love is mentioned in the Bible has to do with human being. Put him on the altar. The second time when love is mentioned was Isaac. Isaac said this to Esau. Esau, cook me the meal, the food that I love, so that I can bless you. That's the second time. So do you know why people love food? How many of you love food? Put up your hand. We all love food, I know. There are so many food channels in our TV. The only time when love is mentioned for the community of believers is in the book of Exodus. When God took all these slaves out and he said that you are slaves, I'm taking you out of Egypt and now you will be my people, you will be a priesthood to me and you must love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Love was never used for animals or things. Love was to be used for who? For God. For human beings. How we have changed the concept of love. I encourage you to live out your love for God and your love for one another. Because when you do that, it's a sweet aroma to God. Let God's love grow and grow in you. Do not let your love grow cold and empty, but let it grow strongly and brightly. God has no limit to his love, no limit to his love, no restriction to his love. I encourage you to live out your love. And to do that, you must be active, not passive. You must be doing, not quitting. You must not be holding back. And you have to do it today, not yesterday, not some other day. Now is the time to live out our love. The next few weeks, the pastoral team will be speaking on how to live out our love with the grace value of generosity, relational, active, Christ-like, and accident. We will use the example in the book of Acts, the disciple of Jesus Christ, in the book of Acts, how they live out their love. And you'll be surprised that the example we're going to use are not people like Paul or Peter who are high profile. They are people who are just ordinary people like you and me, but taking an active step to live out their love for one another. Then, for two Sundays, I want to do the principle of love, which talk about unconditional love. And this one love that you may not like to hear, in the principle of love, I want to talk about tough love. Tough love. You may think it's not in the Bible. Tough love. The type of love. And how to love when there is disagreement with others. It's part of our growth. We also want to do a workshop on the language of love. We're going to have an exciting time together. This year, we plan to do two books. From the New Testament, it will be 1st and 2nd Peter that deals with love. And from the Old Testament, this is what I hope to do. From the Old Testament, I would like to do the Song of Solomon. I know it's a very hard book. Song of Solomon is a book that I have read in my middle age as a Christian. And that Song of Solomon changed my understanding of my love for God. Not by work, not by merit, but by simply loving Him. And He has changed how I understand what it means to love God and having God to love me. And also we want to talk about our love for the lost, that is heading for eternity. This morning, Christ paid the price with His love for us. Others have laid down their life for our love. We need to engage our love, energize our love, and boldly live out our love where God has planted us at Grace City Church and with our circle of influence. We thank God. The end of 2018, the Chinese service, one of them received the Lord. The beginning of 2019 from the Chinese service, one of them received the Lord. This is what love is all about. Not just loving God, loving one another, but also loving the lost that need Jesus Christ. What I'm going to do, we're going to have communion. Then we're going to pray for you. I'm going to ask the pastors to come so that we are able to anoint you with oil. I believe for a release in your life, that a change will come, a release will come into you. Let me ask the brethren to come to serve communion this morning. As the brothers serve communion to you, I want you to take this word that I spoke on, the theme for our year, to live out our love. To ask ourselves every day, God, how can I love you more? How can I love others more? How can I love those who do not know you? May each one of us here today, because of the genuine love of God that has been shed into our heart, not little by little, that God generously pour into our heart, I encourage you, learn to love God, to love others, and to love the lost. When you find love is lacking, come to the God who is love. He is your source. He is your resource. Let His love shed upon your heart. Let His love pour afresh upon your heart, so that you can express that love. The greatest is love. And God sent His Son Jesus to demonstrate His love. His love for us. And now to each one of us here, He said, as I have loved you, as I have loved you, love one another. Love is to do what God does. Without love, I am nothing. Without love, I'm denying the work of God, His great salvation in me. Love never ends. Would you stand up with me? When Paul wrote this epistle to the Corinthian church, it was a church that took communion, but one thing was lacking. It was love. Love for one another. Maybe they become so used to taking communion that when they sin in their heart, they don't care about it. But Paul said, because of that, some of you are weak, some of you are asleep or died. God shed His love upon us so that we can experience unlimited love of His grace and His forgiveness, so that we are able to give love to others. Does your home need love? Does your marriage need love? Does your workplace need love? Be the love of God. Not your love, but the love of God that He has poured in you. Let it grow in you. We take this bread and this cup. It's a living testimony that Jesus Christ died and rose again, and now He lives in each one of us by the power of His Holy Spirit, that we are not powerless. We are a person where His Spirit has poured God's love. Father, as we take this bread and this cup, we acknowledge Your work of love. We ask You right now that You will pour Your love into every heart that is here, God. That Your love, O God, will so saturate our hearts that, Lord, any room, any place of bitterness, of anger, of hatred, of unforgiveness, of resentment, any of this area, God, we ask, as Your love has forgiven us, so we forgive others. We ask for Your love, O God, to align us to the love of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, so that we are able to carry Your love wherever we go, the people we meet. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the end of the message. We trust you have been blessed and encouraged from today's sermon. Please contact the church by email or call in with the phone number shown on the website if you need any help or would like further information about the church.